Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. This is number two in counting your blessings. And looking out and seeing how the world is, there's a lot of trouble and difficulty, and things are building up toward the climax, toward the end. And it's good that we watch and understand what's going on, but it is also important for us to realize that these things do affect us. And sometimes they affect us to the point that we mourn. So here we have the next one. Here we have in Matthew 5 and verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, being able to be comforted in spite of everything that's going on around you can only come from God and from His Holy Spirit. Now, let's come back to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, and let's see something important here concerning how God looks at us living in this world, and we're seeing all the things that are going on. Sometimes it's just overwhelming. And so, as I mentioned last time, we have to understand what is happening, but we can't let ourselves get carried away with it and become totally discouraged. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have empathy. That doesn't mean that we don't understand what's going on. This just merely means that we don't let it overwhelm us to the point that we suffer from it to the degree that it affects our salvation. So let's come to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, and we're going to see how this comfort and protection, yet our feelings and how the world is going, because it's difficult, how this comfort comes directly from God, and with it also comes protection from destruction. Let's read it here. Ezekiel 9 and verse 1. Now, verse 1. "And he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, Let the executioners of the city draw near, let each with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which faces north, and each had his slaughtering weapon in his hand." And we know that this is a prophecy, a duplicate prophecy, similar to what happened with the destruction of Jerusalem. And when these things are cut loose, as we see in the Middle East today, they are really tremendously causing grief and difficulty for millions upon millions of people, and we ourselves are affected by it. Now let's read on, because all of this comes from God. "And one man among them was clothed with linen, and a writer's inkhorn by his side. And he went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple." All of these things now directly from God. So this is why it's important for us to understand that God loves us, God cares for us, God is with us. And in this case, here is protection that comes from God, because we are grieved and mourn at the things that are going on in the world. Now notice, verse 4, "And the Lord said to him, Go through the midst of the city, in the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men who are groaning and moaning because of all the abominations that are done in her midst." And this is a sign of protection in time of trouble. "And he said to those in my hearing, Go through the city after him and slaughter. Let not your eye spare nor have pity." So that is something. That's quite a thing. We're going to see a lot of difficulties come like this. Now let's look at another situation, how it's going to affect the world. Let's come here to Isaiah 24. So this is what we need to do to strengthen ourselves in God, strengthen ourselves with His Spirit, understand the things that are going on and realizing all of the time that we are a part of that solution of God, and that it's the most important thing that we do, that in spite of what's going on, we don't get discouraged, we don't get down, we do not let these things overwhelm us, because we need to understand that God is going to end it all when Christ returns. And then we will have a part in correcting it. Always keep that in mind. Now here it talks about what's going to happen to the earth. Now notice that it's going to get so bad that it says the earth mourns. I don't know if you've ever heard an earthquake. But listen to this. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down and scatters its inhabitants. As it is with the people, so it shall be with the priest. As with the slave, so with the master. As with the handmaid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. The earth shall be completely laid waste and utterly stripped, for the Lord has spoken this word. Now notice what happens to the earth. The earth mourns and languishes. The world withers and languishes. The proud of the earth wither. The earth is defiled under its people because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured. Quite a thing. Now, that's why in Ezekiel, those who are gods are set aside. Now, we also understand there are two categories that will be at the end time. There will be the small group that will go to a place of safety. Then there will be the greater number who are left behind, who will be the martyrs. And even in those instances, we need to have comfort in our minds, because God can give that comfort. So let's go on. Let's look at a couple of other things here. Let's come to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Now, this is quite a psalm. And that's why, in these days, let me tell you something that will help you a lot. It's helped me a lot. And that is to go through and study the psalms and read them and reread them. And you know, the Bible is so fantastic that every time you read and study it, you learn something. And then you come back and you read and study the same thing over again, and you learn more, because the Word of God is layered with understanding. Now here in Psalm 55, now notice how David cried out to God in the terrible circumstances. Give ear to my prayer, O God. What a way to open a prayer and say, O God, hear me. He will. Listen, remember, the Spirit of God is in us. With the earnest of the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ and God the Father are dwelling in us. Never let that thought go. This is why. Now you can understand why. Where it talks about Jesus back there in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. That he willingly laid down his life and despised the shame of it all, because he had the joy of understanding the outcome of it. So this is what we need to do. This is a great blessing and comfort that comes from God. We will see this in just a minute. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and answer me. I am distraught in my trouble and moan in my complaint. Remember, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we will see that will be the comfort in our emotions and in our minds, as well as the comfort that comes from the resurrection. Verse 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because the oppression of the wicked, for they have cast mischief upon me, and in anger they hated me. My heart is pained within me. Now these sound very much like some of the words of Christ, don't they? And the terror of death has fallen upon me. Fear and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And sometimes you feel like that, don't you? Yes. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off, and I would lodge in the wilderness. Well, for us, it's going to be, we'll have the angels take us away, and we won't fly into the wilderness. They're going to carry us to the sea of glass, okay? Now, let's look and see some other things concerning what God is going to do with us, okay? Comfort comes from God. All right, let's pick it up here in Psalm 119. Now, there are quite a few places in Psalm 119 that talks about God intervening to help in every way, and we need God to help us in every way. Listen, God is there with us every day, day and night, in everything we do. See? So this is quite something. Now here, Psalm 119, verse 82. My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? Now see, this is how we can approach these things. Come to God if these problems and difficulties in your life and what you see in the world are affecting you. Ask God to comfort you. When will you comfort me? Now over here, let's continue on. For I become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Now notice, all the blessings that come when we cry out to God in our troubles and difficulties. Even though, verse 5, the proud have dug pits for me, men who do not act according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. So that's quite a thing that he is crying out to God, needing help for. Okay? Let's come here back to verse 50. Verse 50. Here is how we start receiving comfort. Verse 50. Nope, let's go to verse 49. Remember the word to your servant upon which you caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Now, we all have afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But remember the blessing. God delivers him out of them all. Now, notice the approach we need to have here. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has given me life. The proud have utterly scorned me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. Remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. That's why we have the whole Bible, so that we can use it, so that we can grow and change and overcome. And when these difficulties come along, we will be able to yield to God, let his spirit, let his word comfort us, give us life, give us hope, give us mercy and forgiveness, as we will see. And we need all of those things, don't we? Yes, indeed, we do. Since we're here in the Psalms, let's come to Psalm 86. Yes, Psalm 86, and verse 17. Okay, let's come back here to verse 15. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But you, O Lord, are full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. Show me a token for good, so that they who hate me may see and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. How does that comfort come? Because the Spirit of God in our minds and the Word of God combine to give us the spiritual strength to overcome the problems that we look out and see, all the moaning and groaning and sin and evil that is going on in the world. I mean, we have a difficult problem, and God has given the blessing that those who mourn will be comforted. Here, come to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Let's see how that comes directly from God. From God. Isaiah 51. Won't do any good going to Jeremiah. Okay, Isaiah 51. You got to get on the right page, the right book. Okay. Isaiah 51. And let's pick it up here in verse 12. Now, notice this. This is a blessing. This is a promise. And as we have covered, every promise is a blessing. Every difficulty is an opportunity to overcome. And every difficulty that comes along is also an opportunity for us to come to God and lay it before God and let God help us with it. He will. Now, if you're having difficulty and you need comfort, let's read this here in Isaiah 51, beg your pardon. Isaiah 51, notice verse 12. Okay, let's come back here to verse 11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord, that's us, also applying to Israel when they return out of tribulation, shall return and come with singing into Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. And that's what we need, everlasting joy from God. Remember what Jesus said there in John 16 and verse 33. He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but have courage. I have overcome the world. Now let's see how that fits in here. Notice, gladness and joy shall overtake them. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. That's what God says. Claim that promise. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die, or of the Son of Man who is made of grass? And you forget the Lord your God, who has stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth. Listen, how much help and strength and power you have from God, because you are on God's side. Okay? And you dread continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Okay. God is going to take care of it. You do not have to worry about it. Okay? So that's quite a section there in Isaiah. Now let's refresh our memory again from yesterday about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let's come here to Isaiah 61, just 10 chapters over. And we see that all of this is a spiritual work from God. And remember, God created us to receive his Spirit, to live our lives by his laws and commandments, to love him because he loves us, and to love each other, and to not let any of the difficulties overwhelm us, though we get to the point of moaning and groaning Ask for the comfort that comes from God. Remember in Luke, the 4th chapter, Jesus read this from Isaiah and applied it to himself and the preaching of the gospel, and he said, "Today, this is fulfilled in your ears." And now we are a living part of this. But look at what God does and how he handles it. Look at the comfort, look at the relief, look at the things that God does, all coming from Christ through the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me." Now they understood what that meant, because the Messiah, the word means the anointed of God. And so when Jesus said this in the synagogue in Nazareth, they understood what that meant. But they weren't willing to accept it and got angry at him. But nevertheless, to preach the gospel to the poor, not the rich, not the elite, no, the poor. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." And all of us have had our lives turned upside down and have had disappointments and problems and difficulties, depressions and things like that. So here's the blessing that comes from God. God is going to lift it. God is going to change it. God is intervening in our lives. "To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's where he stopped in Luke, the 4th chapter. Because his first coming was not the day of vengeance of the Lord. That's his second coming. So here is a good example of how prophecies are, a little here, a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept, that we may take it and put it together and understand it. Now notice, "and the day of vengeance of our God," then it goes right back to the purpose of why he came and helping us out of our sins, forgiving our sins, helping us in our troubles, to comfort all who mourn. And didn't Jesus say, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted"? And that can be repeated over and over and over again. Think of the great comfort that's going to come at the resurrection. That's going to be amazing. "To appoint those who mourn in Zion, giving them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now, we could take each one of those phrases and develop a study and a sermon for each one of those. See, brethren, the thing that's important that we need to understand is this. God doesn't want us having a religion. He wants us to have a relationship with him through loving him and then loving each other and helping and serve each other. Now, even if you are alone, you can pray for those who need help. You can pray for those that need to be lifted up. You can pray for those who need to be healed. And always remember this. Even though we have church at home, and church at home is really going to be a wonderful thing in the times of difficulties that lie ahead, that we can have everything for you in your home. Think of that. And so many people are going to be helped. Let's go on. Let's see what else we need to cover here. Let's come to the New Testament now. Let's come to John 14. One of the main works of the Holy Spirit is to comfort. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. So think on that. And we have the Spirit of God. And we have connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ. They are dwelling in us. They love us. They want us. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles and afflictions. Did not Jesus love the Father? Yes. Did not the Father love Jesus? What did Jesus go through for us so we can be saved, so we can be redeemed, so we can be comforted, so we can be his very sons and daughters? So you see, and remember this, as we covered on the theme of the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So there is hope. There is comfort. Even in the midst of the most difficult things that happen. All right, let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age. And that's this time before Jesus returned. So we have comfort available all the time. That's why we need not get discouraged. That's why we need to realize that everything that is happening is going to all fold together to fulfill all the prophecies of the end time. And we can be comforted even in the middle of that process. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And remember, God said, I am the one who comforts you. Now notice what the Spirit does. Notice what the comfort does. And what is the greatest thing that we have to comfort us? Let's read it. Even the Spirit of the truth. That's what God gives us. This is how we overcome. Overcome self, overcome sin, overcome Satan, overcome society, and all the difficulties that come. The Spirit of truth is the comforter. Now let's come over here to verse 25. Verse 25, I've spoken these things to you while I'm yet present with you. But when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. And so then it could be written down for us today. That's why we have it. Think of all that have gone before us. Think of all down through history. Here we have the result of it. Just like Jesus said, he told his disciples. Let's come back here to John 4 and let's read that. Okay? John, the fourth chapter. And remember what he says here in John 4. Let's just pick it up here. John 4, and let's pick it up here in verse 21. Okay? Jesus said to her, the woman at the well, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You do not know what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers." Now think about that. That tells you there are false worshipers. What do false worshipers do? They profess to worship God, but follow their own traditions and laws. They profess to serve God and obey him, but keep their own Sunday and holidays, or in the case of Muslims, Friday. Quite something, isn't it? They're true worshipers. And how do you worship God? Shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that comes with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. For the Father is indeed seeking those who worship him in this manner. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the word must means obligatory. It's from the heart, from within, not the external ritual. Now, let's go on. Let's see some more about the comfort of God. Let's come over here to John 15 and verse 26. Now, see, all of these promises are blessings that we can claim. Is it not a blessing to have the Spirit of God? Yes, the greatest blessing of all. To have access to God the Father and Jesus Christ? Unsearchable. But it's given to us in God's love for us. So he will help us. He will comfort us. He will give us of his Spirit. All right, John 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter has come, which I will send from the Father, even the Spirit of the truth, which proceeds from the Father, that one shall bear witness of me, Comforter. And notice, then you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And that keeps on going down through every generation. And you think about it. I think about it. I know you do too. What is it going to be like at the resurrection? That is going to be a fantastic event. All right. Now let's come down here to chapter 16. And let's pick it up here in verse 7, after telling them, listen, you're going to go out and you're going to be kicked out of synagogues. People are going to kill you and say they're doing service to God. Now, I didn't tell you those things when I was with you, but now I'm telling them to you. However, verse 7, but I'm telling you the truth, it is profitable for you that I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. In other words, he had to ascend to the Father, be accepted as the perfect sacrifice, come back down to the earth the same day, then spend 40 days teaching the disciples the understanding of the Word of God. And they probably learned more in that one single 40-day period than they did through the 3.5-year teaching that Christ gave them during his ministry. And then on the day of Pentecost, they were empowered with the Spirit of God and the dynamics of the work of God within them. And brethren, that's what we need again today. Notice what the Comforter of the Holy Spirit will do. However, he says, if I go, I will send it to you. And when that one has come, it will convict the world concerning sin. The true meaning of sin. Sin begins within. Concerning righteousness. The true righteousness based on the love of God. And judgment. Judge righteous judgment. A little sidebar. What is the difference between righteous judgment and being judgmental? Let's think about it for just a minute here. Whenever we make a choice, it's a judgment. We choose to do this or to do that or to do the other. Or we choose not to do this or not do that or not do the other. Those are all judgments. We look at situations, we are told that we know people by their fruits. Well, you have to make a decision on what they are doing. You judge what they are doing. Now, the difference between righteous judgment, which I just explained, and being judgmental is this. When you are judgmental, you profess to know what the individual is thinking, rather than looking at their fruits. because their fruits will tell you what you need to know, what they are thinking. God will judge. No man has the power to do that. So if you make righteous judgment, then you are not judgmental. Let's go forward here. Now verse 9, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Now let's look at a very interesting verse here, back in John the 8th chapter. So hold your place, we'll be back, okay? John the 8th chapter. Let's see what Jesus told the Jews. And the Jews, when they heard this, knew exactly what he meant. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 20. This is quite an exchange. You talk about a witness. Now, did Jesus have the Holy Spirit within him? Yes, indeed. Full measure of it. So he spoke these words in the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one arrested him because his time had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away and you shall seek me, but you shall die in your sins. Where I am going, you're not able to come. Therefore the Jews said, now listen to how they were thinking. Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, I'm going, where I'm going, you're not able to come? And he said to them, notice how Jesus answered back to them. Verse 23, you are from beneath. I am from above. I came from God. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Well, that applies to us because Jesus said that we are to be kept from the evil one because we are not of this world like he is not of the was not of this world. Think of that as a blessing. Think of all of these things, all of the promises that come. They are all blessings from God. Now look what he told them. Verse 24. This is why I said that you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe, I am. And in the Greek, that's the emphatic, ego eimi. They knew that that was the name of God. I am. If you don't believe that, you shall die in your sins. See, because there's no forgiveness of sin in any other way but through Jesus Christ. Now notice, this gave them pause to think. Verse 25, then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, the one that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. And he who sent me is true. And what I have heard from them, from him, these things I speak to the world. But they did not know who he was, that he was speaking to them of the Father. Then he said to them, he told them exactly what they were going to do. Then Jesus said to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you yourselves shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me these things, I speak. Whoa, quite a thing. Now notice, how with the Holy Spirit given, the Holy Spirit the Comforter, but the power of God, the truth of God, the Spirit of truth. Notice how it's going to convict the world. Come back here to John 16. Okay? Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you no longer will see me. Concerning judgment, because the judge, the correction, because the ruler of this world has been judged, not yet removed. I have yet many things to tell you, but you are not able to bear them now. And one of the major ones was, hey guys, I'm not telling you how long it is till I come back. Now notice what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Ongoing, here's the blessing. Here is the blessing with the Spirit of God. Not only is it a comforter, it is a teacher. It will guide us. It will lead us. Now notice, verse 13, however, when that one has come, even the Spirit of the truth, it will lead you into all truth. All truth necessary for salvation. All truth necessary to understand the Word of God. All truth necessary to understand the times that we are living in. All truth that God loves us, cares for us, comforts us, is with us, will help us, will strengthen us in everything. Okay? Because it shall not speak from itself, but whatever it shall hear, it shall speak. Just like this recording that we're doing right now. We're going to send it to you in DVD form, and you put it in your player, and it's going to say exactly what we recorded and sent to you. Or if you download it online, you have it there. See, the Holy Spirit is the power of God and is directed by Christ and will do nothing of itself because it is not a person. Now, that is a great truth to understand. Now, notice, and it shall disclose to you the things to come. And you carry that forward to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. When you read that or when you hear the recording that we did, either the audio or the video version of the book of Revelation. And it makes me wonder, I wonder what the Apostle John thought when he saw all of those things. And it was such a great mystery. But he wrote it down. And God has given us the blessing of being able to understand nearly all of the book of Revelation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it will lead you into all truth, the Comforter. I, says the Lord, am he who comforts you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's take a break and we'll come back.